We are back in our study, the ABCs on women, amen. And so we're looking at the work of women. Does anybody need a, do you have your, I wouldn't expect, I didn't put a thing out saying that we would actually be doing this today, but you're fine. Amen. Cuss those down. That down for me. You're very welcome. There's two there. Hi, John. You're very welcome. All right. Hey, just in time. Did you have a good birthday? Good, good, good. Awesome. All right. Last time that we looked at this, we actually dealt with A1 there on a woman's primary ministry. If you see how this is split up on this study, the top says the work of women, and then you see the top there says the primary ministry, and then B is a primary resource. You don't have this, but C will be a woman's greatest service, and then a woman a woman's ability to engage in full-time Christian service. And so we'll look at those as we have opportunity later, but today we're going to look at these two on the page that you have: a woman's primary ministry and then a woman's primary resource. And so in life, God, and we've dealt with this last time, but just trying to bring us back up just a little bit. In life, all of us, God gives us a role, and then he gives us a way to have that role implemented. And then, of course, he gives us resources to implement that, right? And so in life, we just want to make sure we know what those things are, because if we try to work outside of those, it just won't work out all that well, right? If you've ever been worked a job where it's a larger, maybe where you're not doing everything, but there's a number of people there and everybody has their specific roles and all that. We all know what it's like to work with somebody that doesn't do their job but tries to do everybody else's job. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah? How's that work? What's it cause? What's it cause amongst the group? Could be resentment, could be friction. Frustration. What's frustration? The definition, by the way, the word frustrate is used 3 times in your Bible. And every time that thing's used, what it talks about is a stopping of forward progress. So if you're frustrated, like Old Testament talked about being frustrated in your purpose, then the purpose doesn't get accomplished because you're not moving forward. Does that make sense? So if we're frustrated in a group scenario, then we don't move forward, right? All the energy is taken up dealing with something we shouldn't have to deal with. Make sense? And so the discussion really isn't about what we want to do. Right? Does that really matter? It's a component, but ultimately it's not the main component. The main component is what God has equipped you to be, made you to be, and equipped you to be, and gave you resources to accomplish. There's some things I'd like to do, but God hasn't given me the ability to do it. Or I feel like I have ability, but I haven't been given the opportunity or resources. Does that make sense? So I can fret over that, and I can be upset over that, or I could say, well, for now, that's not for me. Right? And then I look for what is for me right now. Does that make sense? And so no matter who we're talking about, whether, by the way, children get this way in the home. They start thinking, hey, I want to be out on my own. The question I ask is, are you right now on your own? No. Well, then stop worrying about it. Right? Because if we get so stuck in what we want to be, then we miss the opportunities of where we're at today. And by the way, getting older, things change. Right? Oh, yeah. What changes about getting older with you? Energy. Jessica, still in her 30s, says, and you don't know nothing yet about that, but you will. Yeah. No, that's true, though. Your energy level changes. Audrey, what changes?
I have to roll to get up.
You have to what?
I have to make turn into a roll. I can't get up anymore if I sit on the ground or sit down. I have to do a roll.
Wow. Well, so how your joints work has changed. Yes. Yeah. What else changes as we get older? Yes.
Perspective.
What changes about your perspective?
Well, trying to think a little more logically as you in my experience from going from being that little 15-year-old craziness to now 18-year-old, like, kind of being terrified.
I was going to say, yeah, being afraid, yeah. Wow. I'm sure that's a blessing for Rob to hear. That's awesome. That's good. No, that is good. Your perspective absolutely changes. And from 18 through your 20s, through your 30s, through your 40s, all that, no doubt your perspective does keep changing. Jessica?
Maturity.
And that's kind of the, and there's an aspect of maturity to it, but then also how much time you really potentially have left, right? Changes. Because at 18, you think you got all kinds of time left. But, you know, as you get 50s, 60s, maybe 70s, then that perspective changes to where I really don't have necessarily a lot of time left. So that absolutely changes a lot of things, right? Yes, Kyle.
How fast time seems to move. It seems like I felt like I had forever when I was in my teens, and now I'm 30. Stop, slow down.
Yeah. So there is a time element that's changing, but there's also, it was mentioned energy, but then strength. Strength changes. Opportunity. There are certain things that are opened as far as opportunities when you're younger, occupation-wise, service-wise, even military service, different things that isn't open later, in a sense. So opportunities do change. Yes. I was thinking it could change one way or the other, right? Some people through life, they've been wronged so much or hurt so much, they get bitter. And so their perspective changes because they're now bitter towards everybody. And then other people, like you're saying, I think where you're alluding to is you begin to appreciate people more and love people more, right? And slow up a little bit and enjoy those relationships more. So it could go either way, but absolutely that would. And that's going to affect, you know, your ministry. That's going to affect who you can minister to and who you can't. And that's another thing we have to consider as people. There are some people that I cannot minister to right now. You know, maybe I've offended them. Maybe our personalities clash. Amen? Maybe they just don't like me, right? And we just have to recognize that. Do we want that? No. But again, this isn't about what we want. It's recognizing reality. Does that make sense? And that's what this lesson is about, just recognizing reality. And stop trying to live in a false reality. Because a lot of people are living that way. A lot of women today are trying to live like they're a man. Can that work from God's perspective? He's the creator. Why can't it work? Because they're not a man. That's right. Some grown-ups try to live like their kids. There's a lot of 20s and 30-year-old, 40-year-old men that are still stuck in front of a gaming system. The only muscles in their body that are really, really doing well are their thumb muscles. There are. They're in mom's basement, mom and dad's basement, because they allow it. And the reality is they just need to kick that bum out on the street. Amen. Amen. Especially this time of year when it's cold, they're going to have to do something. Amen. And so recognizing these things, right? And so I recognized a long time ago that I'm not a woman. Aren't you glad to hear that?
Amen.
Amen. And that women, not only is their perspective different, Their thought process is different. Their abilities are different. Their emotional side is different. I mean, everything is different. Their strength level is different. You know? I mean, there's a lot that's different between a woman and a man, right? Physiologically, we're just different. And so if I try to live like a woman, that'd be horrible, right? Because I'm not made that way. Does that make sense? And so again, recognizing this study is about, for women, is recognizing what God has given you, as the first thing says there, is as a primary ministry. And then from there, the resources that God has given to you. If you have a bank account, let's say you have five bank accounts. One of them has $100,000 in it, and the rest have $1,000 in it. And you refuse to see the one that has $100,000. How much do you have to work with? $4,000. You have four accounts, $4,000 in them each, right? But you refuse to see the one you got a lot of resources in. I think that's how a lot of people live. They're demanding that God put more resources in these other accounts. But he's not. But he's given you all the resources you need over here, but you refuse to see it. Because you don't like the ramifications potentially of that. So you don't tap into that amazing rich account, because you've already said, I'm not going that route. As a woman, I'm not going that route. Well, so in life, we need to recognize how God has made us, who we are, what he's given us to do, where the resources are in that. And if you can do that and leave you out of it, man, you will be a very, very fulfilled person. Does that make sense? And because God made you. God made me. And he made us to thrive. Because he does all things well. God doeth all things well. He does everything decent in order, for sure. But he does all things well. He made you well. He made you to function. He made you to thrive. Amen? But if we try to live outside of the, which you can. You can live in your own reality and ignore how God has made you. You can do that. But you do that without the resources and without the direction that God has given you. And so because of that, you're frustrated. Or you can be frustrated. Yes. Yeah.
Like, you do the things God wants you to do, like, you know, and obviously there's exceptions and all that stuff.
Sure.
But, like, there's fulfillment in the things God has said you to do. And if you follow the stuff the world says, you know, be independent, you don't need children, get a dog.
Get a dog instead of a husband, sure.
It might be happy for a minute, but in the long run, that's not how God makes you be. So
yeah.
Be happy.
That's pretty cool. Coming out of the aircraft world, what I learned early on in the aircraft world, here's this big airplane, and it's got all kinds of systems on it. Pneumatic systems, hydraulic systems, got, you know, the power plant, the engines. It's got, you know, the flight controls. It's got cabling. It's got all these different things and all these black boxes, and everything's going on. And you look at that from a casual perspective, and you're thinking, how am I ever going to work on it? How, right? And so you figure out as you start working on things is that there's this one room set aside, And now it's computer-based, and it was towards the end there too, but it was microfilm first and then computers. And basically, anytime you work on something, as a mechanic, I'm licensed federally, you're supposed to have the manual with you. Everything, right? And so every time you sign anything off, like I did this, you have to say, I did it in accordance with, like pneumatics is chapter 36. Every system has its own chapter, right? Power plant chapters are all 70 series. Anyway, hydraulics is 29, flight control is 27. And so you learn that. So you go to that chapter and you look up that system. And so every time you work on anything, you have to say, I did this in accordance with maintenance manual, chapter 27, 16, 1, or whatever it is, you know, 401, which is, yeah. Anyway, so the point is this, is that I learned that here are all these systems that work together on an airplane, right? And I don't know what I need to know about them. I have a casual understanding of them. I have more of an understanding now than I did when I first started, of course. But what I had to do, even when I knew it, I was bound to go to the maintenance manual and follow the manufacturer's instructions on how to do anything. Now, take that into our realm as a Christian. How often do we fly by the seat of our pants as a Christian and we never go back to the maintenance manual? How many people, they try to raise their children based on what they know. Do you realize your children are a whole lot more important than an airplane? You say, yeah, but an airplane's flying and it can crash. And I get it, but your children are still more important. My children are. By the way, as a spouse, having a husband or a wife, if you think you understand them, you don't. And neither do I. But I know who does. And his name's God. And he's wrote us a manual about our spouses. And you better go to that manual all the time to try to figure your husband or wife out so you know what to do and how to respond, how to react, and everything else. Know the maintenance manual. This is the maintenance manual for life. Amen? And so I guess from that perspective, I've kind of brought that in. And so that helps me. It helps me not to get to that place I think I know. Because I was trained, it doesn't matter if you think you know. Pull the manual up. And if an FAA inspector who walked around here and there came up on you and you were doing a job and you didn't have that maintenance manual beside you, every infraction is a $10,000 fine personally and a potential suspension of license. Every one. And the company's not going to back you if you didn't follow their protocols. So, do you see? And so you get into an industry like that, that helped me. I think God gave that to me to help me as I got into pastoring, because it doesn't matter what I know. It doesn't matter. I have to go back to the manual every time or I'm liable. Does that make sense? And so if you can grab hold of that, then when we go over stuff like this, it's like, oh, okay, I'm just looking for what works for me. Because the manufacturer, God, who made me, has told me how it works. It doesn't matter how I think it works. It matters how God says it works. Does that make sense? So that A1 is this. So we've already gone over this text. We're not going to go to it. We'll be here for a while if we do. But it's God's will is for the younger women to marry. What's that next one? Blank children. Bear children and guide the home. God's will, and we've already covered this, so you can look that up if you need to. And if you're going to look that up, I would encourage you to study 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 16 on it. But that is God's will. That's what God has made women primarily for. There are always exceptions. There's always things you want to seek God on your own individual situation. But no matter what else, ladies, you have extracurricular going on. If you have, especially if you have children, this is included. This is included right here. God has specially equipped you for this task. If guys were trying to fill this role on their own, most of our children would not be alive. Because we do things differently. You guys didn't laugh. Amen? You ladies have been equipped specially to bear long with children and to bring them up over the long haul. Amen? And that's a blessing. So that's your primary ministry. So your primary ministry, and by the way, for us, Dana and I, when we started having children, we were young Christians. And as we got into it, God really convicted me, and I shared it with Dana, and she agreed. We talked about stopping the whole process of having children. And about that time, I was youth director, things like that. I was involved, trying to get more and more involved in ministry. And this is what God said to me specifically. He said, how do you expect me to bless you and you trying to reach the world for me when you won't even let me give you children for you to raise in your own home? I was like, you're right. You're right. And so we decided we were going to let God guide that process. And it kind of scared us. We didn't know what that would mean, right? They'll say, did you set out to have a big family? We don't think we have a big family. We only have eight children, right? And I don't consider that a big family. And some people would say, what? I know, you've bought into the modern day whatever. But I just, here's what we have. We have what God gave us, you know? And I look at our family as a normal sized family. I don't look at it as big. But the point is this, is that God equips us. And so what do we have to do? Go back to the manual in everything to include this. And so think about the blessing you ladies have as far as those that you know, that have children. I know not all can, but those that do, think about the blessing that you have with young people. I mean, here at a church, we'll have people come in and we have them for a service two, three, four times a week. And we're trying to affect them, and then they're if you're blessed as a lady to be able to be home with your kids, that's a blessing. But whether you are or not, you have a lot of time with those kids, and you are that influence. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, as the whole adage says. And so, stop looking at that like a detriment, and look at it for the potential that it actually does give you. You have young people to pour the Word of God in your life into. And they'll be raised before you know it. All of us that have raised children will say, even Kyle saying, time is flying. Why is he saying time is flying? Because he has kids that are growing up. Amen? We don't realize how fast time is going until you have a kid. And that marker of time is like, whoa, another one's graduating? What? Right? And so it's amazing. It's amazing. So before you know it, they'll be out on their own. Amen? And so the primary ministry of a woman would be family-centered, guiding that home. A2, Titus chapter 2. We can turn over there, Titus chapter 2. We got about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll get started on this one. Just trying to set this again where it needs to be, because this is a huge issue in life that a lot of people are discontent, no matter who they are. Women are discontent with their role. Men are discontent with their role. Children are discontented in their roles. Church members are discontented with their church, with their pastor, with their roles, and on and on and on and on and on. It's time to stop being discontented, and it's time to start looking to God and saying, God, what is my role? What are my resources? What is my ministry? Thrive in it, because I guarantee you, in every one of those things, God has enabled you to thrive. And if you're not thriving, it's because you're trying to force something into your world right now that's not yours to have. You say, but it should, and it may. And it may be that there's someone in your life right now that's keeping something from you. I get it. That happens to all of us. But if that's the case, you do what you can do in that and leave the rest to God and go on and thrive where God has called you to thrive. We don't got a lot of time to waste. We're not getting any younger. But there's something right now that God has equipped you to thrive in. So enjoy this time in your life and thrive. Amen? And if you're not, you're missing that account right now that God has filled up to the brim for you in resources. that you keep telling God, I am not going there. God said, that's too bad because, man, I got a lot of good stuff for you right here. You see? And so that's how life works. Titus chapter 2, who wants to read real quick verses 3 through 5? Titus 2, 3 through 5. Amen, amen. So on your sheet there, according to Titus 2, 3 through 5, the aged, which is the mature, presbyteros, it would be like an elder woman, have a ministry of what? Teaching the younger. Okay, so while you're younger, you're guiding your home and all that. You're gaining experience. And then as you get experience and you're in a church scenario, this is a church scenario here, right? Then you have opportunity to teach some younger ladies, just like when you were younger, you had older ladies that helped teach you and guide this process. Because we all need help. We all need help in this area. God works through others to help us to learn some things. Amen. And then we're going to be taught, the ladies are going to be taught to be sober, which is not be controlled by other things. This says external, that's fine. External to the home. Your main ministry, remember, always keep your main ministry in mind. And if you work outside the home, keep in mind, your main ministry is not your occupation. Your main ministry is the home. It doesn't mean you can't study the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. She did a lot of things. She's buying and selling lands and everything else. But her main ministry was to her home. She never lost sight of that. Amen? Be there to love their who? Well, the first is husbands. Love their husbands and to love their children. And we'll close on this thought. The word love here is not the word agape. It's the root word phileo. It literally means to be a friend. Women need to learn how to be a friend to their husbands and a friend to their children. Not a friend like in modern, buddy, buddy, pal, whatever. A friend blank at all times. Loveth. A friend loveth at all times. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend, see, we've got a skewed view of what a true friend is today. We think a friend is one who covers for you, parties with you, does all kinds of, no. Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so a true friend says what needs said. A true friend bears long. A true friend loves when no one else is loving. And that's how we need to treat our spouse and our children, right? And so we'll look at that. We'll start there next week and look at that a little further. But we need to learn that. You can't get offended. You can't be hurt by your family. As soon as you let hurts creep in, you stop being a friend, right? Because once you're hurt, you've moved them to a different category. What's that category? Enemy, that's right. Once you're hurt by your children or your spouse, and you let that set in, you take them from friend status and you move them to enemy status. And as soon as you do that, you've lost all resources that God has given you to thrive in your role. That's what the maintenance manual says. Amen. God, help us, Lord, just to consider this thought today. Thank you, God, for all that you've given. Thank you, God, that you've made a way for each of us to thrive in life. Help us to allow you to show us what that is and help us to follow it. We love you and thank you now for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.